1, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, which says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." We've been preaching through the New Testament in as best of a chronological order as we can. And one of the things that we notice in this passage, or this area that we're in as far as Scripture goes, is that Jesus takes a lot of time aside to go pray. And I've preached on this before here, but here we are. It's important for us to stop and take a look at this, that Jesus was not one to let things build up. He was not one to ignore the needs of his spirit, let alone the needs of his body. He was the kind of a man that understood the value of a hard day's work for the Lord, but he also understood the weaknesses of the body and mind. And every time we see him get to that point in stewardship, he would stop, pause, go off into the wilderness, and pray. And I tell you what, we all need breaks from time to time, don't we? It gets hard to go and go and go. Even for those that are retired, the day in, day out, chores around the house, it can really add up on you, and you need a break. Now, as we're preaching through this, I'm not talking about a typical vacation. Vacations are good, aren't they? You go out, you load up the family in the car, and maybe you head down to Tennessee, or you go see Mickey Mouse, or whatever it is. That can be fun, but that's entirely different from what we're talking about. We're talking about a God-honoring, spirit-focused break. Those breaks can happen every day and should happen every day, but they could also be more long-term extended breaks where we stop, we've got nothing but our Bible, and we're going out and we're praying and we're reading and we're recentering ourselves spiritually for the work ahead. We look at what Jesus was doing here, and that's exactly what he was doing. He went off early before the work had to take place. He found himself some privacy, and he spent that time talking to God. Far too many of God's people go day in and day out without a dedicated period of time talking to the Lord. As I was preparing for tonight's service and the power went out at around 4 o'clock, I go, oh no, and I'm talking to the Lord. It was just a brief thing, not a dedicated thing. Oh, all right, well, Lord, keep our building safe and allow the sump pump to keep working. And I thanked him for keeping half the power on and asked for him for solutions and things like that. It was a quick prayer. It was a small prayer. And we're used to those, right? A quick prayer before dinner, a quick prayer before we dive into services, but we need time. And not just the quantity of time, but we need precious quality time spent with the Lord, and we need that every day. Jesus worked harder than I think any other Christian ever has. Paul dedicated his life to outworking everybody else just for the sake of the grace of God, for the glory of God. That was his desire, that for all the grace God gave him, he was going to work just as hard to not waste that. And here we have Jesus, who I believe outworked him by far. Jesus' life was dedicated to the work of the Father. Literally dedicated, because it started in the will of his Father, and it ended because of the will of his Father. And then thankfully, 3 days later, he took it up again. But Jesus worked hard. He worked hard in his service. Everything he did was to honor God. And it's important that we stop and we look at his service before we're able to stop and take a look at his break. Because I think in our society today, we've become so lazy-minded. We think that the smallest of inconveniences means that it's okay for us to step out of church for a couple weeks or to step away from having to do something for a few days because we had the smallest of inconveniences, or we had a really tough work day. That means we can take breaks in the things that God doesn't give us the right to take breaks in. He worked hard. It's important to work hard for the Lord, particularly in our service. We ourselves need to wake up every day going, Lord, how can I honor you today? Lord, in these things that I know that I have to do, how can I honor you in paying the light bill? How can I honor you in my drive to work? How can I honor you in cleaning up my yard or whatever it is that you have to do? How can I honor God in it? Is there somebody along the way that needs to be given the gospel? Is there a car ride that I can focus on praising and worshiping the Lord in? Either way, we've got to find those everyday tasks, a way to honor God. And that's what Jesus did. Everything he did was about his Father's business. We recall him being a child in the temple, telling his mom, don't you know, this is what I must be doing. I must be doing my Father's business day in and day out. You are about your Father's business, or at least you should be. Jesus, in his service for the Lord, expended much of his physical body, walking for miles, 40 of them alone, just so he could go and be baptized, right? He did not mind a hard day's work. He did not mind having to walk to get to the work that God had for him. As we see here in this passage of scripture, he was comfortable. All right, we've worked in this town. Now let's go to the other towns. His mind was always working. He always knew what the plan was and already knew what he had to do to accomplish that plan. Where are we with the plans that God has for our everyday lives? What are we doing? Are we always thinking about what we're reading in the Bible? Are always thinking about what we need to say to the Lord next in our time of prayer? There should be a purposefulness and a desire, as Paul said, to be spent in the service of God. He didn't mind the walking. He didn't mind that his pillow was a stone. He put in the work for the Lord. There was no question in that. There's no dancing around it. He meant what he meant for the Lord. We see that not only did he preach repentance everywhere that he went, but he provided the ability for it. There's been no child of God on earth that could die on the cross for anyone else. There's no other Christian or child of God on earth that could come close to what Jesus Christ did in the service of the Lord, right? That means everything else that we can do, we need to do, right? That bar of expectation was really raised that day, and we'll never get there, but we need to be working hard, always pressing, what can I do for the Lord? What do people say is impossible, but God says is possible? Let me throw myself into that. Right? We need to be out there preaching repentance despite how scary the world has become about it. We need to be out there preaching the gospel despite the fact that the world has turned cold to the idea, because the elect are still out there. Even though we've got Christians that are saying that it's impossible to find some soul out there still needing to be saved, we need to go out there and do what they say is impossible and find them. I firmly believe that God has a plan for a Home Missionary Baptist Church. I don't believe he doesn't have just one plan, but many plans. We need to fulfill the plans of the Lord. Be out there putting in the effort. He worked hard in his service. He worked hard in his teaching. He taught the word to those that rejected it. And I tell you what, we were just talking about that. That is difficult. There's a world out there that prefers to be deaf. There's a world out there that has been twisted and perverted by the devil. We still teach what we teach. We don't back down off of it. But I tell you what, that can expend a lot of energy, can't it? It can cause a lot of stress to us to be out there preaching the gospel, preaching and teaching the word to those that would not have it. Seems like you're always having to fight to defend it, always having to prove and overprove what the word of God says. It could take a lot out of you. Jesus wasn't bothered by it. We ourselves should not be bothered by that, right? We should be willing to put in that effort to exhaust ourselves in the teaching of the Word of God. Now, there are limits, of course. I'm not going to sit there and get into a shouting match with somebody. You don't want to have it? Well, you don't have to have it, but I will stand by the stuff. Also, not only did he have to teach to those that rejected it, but he taught the Word to those that aggressively hungered for it. And I tell you what, I praise the Lord for people who aggressively hunger for the Word of God. Those that are always asking questions. Those that are always trying to clarify thoughts that they've had from their studies. Praise the Lord for those people. But I tell you what, you get enough of them around like Jesus did, where the crowds are pressing on him. That'll tucker you out, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure that there was many a time when he just needed a moment for that physical flesh to take some rest. And there would be more people with questions and needing to be taught. And of course, he always obliged, right? Provided it was within the Lord's will, he stopped and he taught and he put a lot of physical cost, a lot of his body into the preaching and teaching of the Word. And aren't you glad for it? But even then, we see the exhaustion there. We see the physical toll. While Jesus Christ was 100% God, his body was 100% man. It felt all the things that we feel. It felt a sore back. It felt, stomach aches and back aches and fatigue and hunger. It felt all the things that we feel, right? So it was susceptible to fatigue, susceptible to needing a break. And not only that, but he took to caring for people, right? There was many of occasions, and we just preached on one, where he shows up, and according to anybody who'd be in the room, he was just there, and we just found out that Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he was just going to heal them until the many multitude of people showed up wanting healing and delivering from their demons. And we see in scriptures, Jesus didn't whine, he didn't complain, he didn't set up a schedule with a receptionist or something. Something like that. He did the work right there and then. Oftentimes in our care for the work of the Lord, or our care for the people within the work of the Lord, there are curveballs that get thrown our way. We don't expect to have to wake up at 2 a.m. We don't expect to have to go for days and days at a time for something. But at the same time, our hearts desire to do it because we love the Lord and we love the people that we care for. We love our church. We love things like that. You know, not to pick on Brother Mark, but who knows, maybe he was eating dinner. Maybe he was just kind of getting some quick relaxation before church tonight, and there's his pastor on the phone. Hey, what do you think about half the power of the church being out? And he came without thinking about it. And I know that this church parking lot, and there are many people at home who are the exact same way, where they're willing to spend and be spent for the service of the Lord. But we have to admit that there are times when we get to that spent category, where there's nothing much left physically, and our spirits are out of gas, and our body is out of gas, and we need to have those breaks, right? He healed untold numbers of people in multiple cities at a great physical cost to him. But at the same time, he didn't whine, he didn't moan. He put his shoulder into the work. He put his heart into the work and did exactly what was expected of him. It is my prayer that each and every single last one of us would be guilty of doing the same. That we would put our shoulders and our hearts into the work of God, regardless of what it is. And we would be glad to be spent, or to spend and be spent for the things that honor God, just like Jesus did. However, again, we put all this together, right? We put in the service. We put in the day-to-day spiritual fitness that's required of us. We teach, we preach, we give the gospel. We stand for what's right. We sweep a floor. We vacuum a floor. We prepare a dish for a conference. We put in all the effort. Well, again, eventually what happens? The spirit starts to tire. The mind starts to get weak, and the body, of course, goes into fatigue. So what's required of us? Well, good stewardship of the heart, mind, and body is required of us. Just as hard as Jesus worked, he knew to rest just as hard. Let's go ahead and take a look at our passage of scripture. says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, it doesn't say, but I've got a hunch that in order for Jesus to have risen up early in the morning, he got some sleep. And sleep is important. And now, of course, I'm telling a bunch of people who raised children and taught them about bedtimes and the importance of rest and all that good stuff. However, I also know just how easy it is for each and every one of us to find ourselves up at 2 o'clock in the morning, either working on something or staring into a television screen. No, take your physical rest. God designed your body to be able to be recharged. And we do so through rest, right? Get you some sleep. But we also see that sleep had, well, a physical effect, right? We don't just get physically tired. Good night's sleep will fix that, right? A good night of rest and relaxation can fix your body's physical fatigue. But our problems go much worse when we get overworked. Or if we don't maintain our spiritual rest, we can get ourselves in kind of a pickle. We'll go upside down on the thing, right? So he got up early. What was the first thing he knew he needed to do? Go out and away. He turned off the distractions, turned away from all of the things that could potentially take him away from this conversation with the Lord. He prioritized this conversation with the Lord in that he didn't want anybody else around him to distract from this conversation. Now, again, we have our short time talks with God. We have our quick morning, our quick on the road to work or to wherever it is that we're headed. Our quick, Lord, help me get the water back on. Help me, the Lord, get this back on. Whatever it is that we're doing, we have our quick prayers. We might even have our bedtime prayers of 5, 10, 15 minutes. But where is the quality time, the undistractable time with the Lord? Charlie caught me on this. He gave me a phone call as he pulled in. I had to hop away from where I was working over here, go over there and get my phone. Caught me in a little trick that I have where I keep the phone away from me when I'm doing the work. When I've got the Bible open, I try to keep the phone away from me. Why? Because distractions. In times of intense work that must be done for the Lord, we need to cut down on those things, to remove those things from our mind. Turn off the TV. Get yourself in a private place and really do the business with God. Have a list. Just randomly talk to him like you would a friend, right? Just a stream of conscious thought there with the Lord. Tell him about your day. Tell him about your concerns. Tell him about all the things that are going on around you. Right? Have that conversation, because what that does is it restores the relationship you have with God, and it builds the relationship with God. They talk about that in marriages all the time, where if they focus on the kids and they don't focus on the relationship as well, by the time those kids grow up and leave the house, there's not much of a friendship left in the marriage. So what then must be done? What then must be done is that there has to be conversation. There has to be the rebuilding, the getting to know each other. Some of us, though we speak to God 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, we are just as well strangers with him for how little time we spend. Take the time and talk to him. And remember that conversation is a two-way street. As you pray, you must also read. Right? If you're struggling and you don't feel centered, you don't quite have that conviction or that soundness in your heart that you're walking right, that things are going right, you need to stop and check your relationship with the Lord. Whenever a Christian feels uncertain, that's typically one of the many signs that there's struggle in the prayer and Bible reading life. We need to put the focus back on it. When he rested, again, it was not a cheap vacation to go sit by the beach. It was not an action-packed, filled trip down to the amusement park. It was quiet, right? It was filled with prayer. That time that you take away and you stop and you converse with the Lord needs to be filled with prayer. And I would even say this, that every day, and every action and everything we do needs to be saturated in prayer. just completely filled with that conversation. Not a quick and passing conversation, and then we sit there and stare off into the fire, or stare off into the water for a while. No, one that is dedicated, one that is devoted and desires closeness to Him. Right? So what do we want to do? And we'll address this a little bit later, but we want to make sure that there's no distractions. We want to make sure that whatever sin is in our life is taken care of. And we want to go and we just want to spend that time with our Lord. A dedicated and devoted time. And that time must also be filled with purpose. Filled with purpose. All right, so we're going to come to the Lord, we're going to do business, but we better have our business in order. When I used to stand before the owners of the company I worked for, and I had to give a report on how what property I was working on was doing, there were some certain things that I had to talk about. They wanted to know about our income. They wanted to know about how much money was going back out. They wanted to know how we were on our large projects. They wanted to know what the budgets were for my future projects. They wanted the whole shooting match. Well, when I sit down and I quote-unquote do business with God, I should have a plan when I show up to Him. Number one, is there any sin that I need to repent of? And not just say sorry, but I need to get with Him and tell Him, hey, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. I need freedom from this sin. I need courage and I need mindfulness and I need the strength of will to push this out of my life. Give it to You entirely. And then, of course, yes, Lord, please forgive me for it. We need to handle the sin. We even need to ask the Lord if there's any sin that we've got that we don't know about. Because sin, oh, it does tend to creep in if we're not careful, doesn't it? Lord, if there's anything I'm doing that I don't think is a sin, but You do, reveal that to me. Next thing we need to address during these times or these seasons alone with the Lord is address your strength. Lord, please renew my strength. Lord, please renew my resolve and my ability to do the things that you've called me to do. Because I tell you what, if you let yourself get run down, you'll see things that you should do, things that you know that you should do, but you'll reach into your brain to do it, and your brain will go, uh-uh, I got nothing for you. You'll run out of willpower. You'll run out of that steam that we do, that we bring to every project we have. No, you need to take some time off. Take some time in conversation with the Lord. Take some time getting things right. Lord, renew my strength. Used to be I'd go to the store, and I'd always hand out a tract and I'd always have a conversation with somebody. I'd go down to the fairgrounds and I'd pass this out and I'd say that, and hey, it seems like it's been a good year or so before since I've given anybody the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get to Him. Strengthen that. Lord, please give me the strength again. Give me the mindfulness again that I may be found obedient and strong enough to be obedient in these things. Because as the spirit gets weak, the flesh, I'm not talking about our physicality, but that old nature gets stronger. That old nature gets embarrassed by the gospel. That old nature gets embarrassed by saying, hey, please don't use the Lord's name in vain around me. The flesh gets weak the flesh gets strong and it pushes against those things. We need to be strong spiritually. Lord, renew my spiritual strength. Lord, give me that fire. Give me that passion to serve You regardless of what my flesh says, regardless of what my instincts say. Lord, let me obey You. Let me follow the Holy Spirit instead of this old wicked desire of mine to just pretend I don't have a duty to do. Right, so we need to have some sin to repent of, some strength, some requests for our strength to be renewed, and then also we pour in our requests. We take that time and we pour in our requests. Lord, please save so-and-so. Lord, please help this situation with my family. Lord, please restore this, and Lord, please prevent that. You know, we've got many a prayer request going on in our church, many a concern happening right now. We take those to the Father. When we do our business, we take those. It seems hard for me nowadays to sit there and go through the whole of my prayer list, both personal and church, with the Lord. But I tell you what, it matters. I tell you what, it affects things. When I can sit down and take the whole time needed to go through everything, praising Him for the answered prayers, going over my concerns for the future, making my requests, it makes a difference in your heart. Right? When we deal with these problems without taking them to the Lord, they'll wear you down faster. They'll really kind of break you down. It's like carrying something that's too heavy. Maybe it's just heavy enough for us to be able to carry on our own. But it wears us out faster. It'd be something that would be a lot better to have a second person carry with us. We need to hand our burdens over to the Lord. And I tell you what, that's why they're called burdens. They'll wear you out if you carry them by yourself. So again, we must take our concerns, bring them straight to the Father, and leave them at His feet. And again, we need to take time, not just time to say that we took time, but time well spent and time spent well. That again, it's filled with conversations and not the wandering of the mind. That it's filled with talking and reading and making requests unto God and praising the Lord. And again, following that up with more reading. Take the time, put in the effort to restore that relationship with God. We all need rest, but not just lazy rest, purposeful rest, spiritual rest, and recharging. And the Lord also followed a process here. Let's take a look at the process in this passage of Scripture. We see, number one, He went to a solitary place. We see that once He was there, He prayed, right? He took that time. And for us, we need to have a process when we come to the Lord. We need to have a definition of what away means. Maybe away means that park in your neighborhood. Maybe away means that trail that you like to walk. That spot in your backyard, your back porch, your front porch. We need to have a definition of what away is when we come away to be with the Lord. Either way, it needs to be away from any and all distraction. We need to take our heart and aim it solely at God. Right, I'm not here to bird watch. I'm not here to check to make sure the sun's not withering my grass. I am here to only speak to the Lord. This cell phone's off in the house somewhere. There's nothing on my mind other than what I'm bringing to the Lord today. We see that in the Lord, as I said before, everything Jesus did was to accomplish the goal of God. And when we take that time to be alone with Him, we too need to have that heart. When I'm speaking to you, when I'm away, I need to have this be something that's purposeful. And everything I do comes to that purpose of recharging and taking a break for the Lord. The Shell Oil Company many years ago solved the problem of running out of gas. They put this in Reader's Digest. Different ways that we can use to make sure that while we're driving, we don't run out of gas, or how to use less gas, I guess would be the better definition of it, but that they worded it as the problem of running out of gas. All right, number one is what? Clean your air, oil, and gas filters, right? Make sure you got clean filters. That again, of course, goes to what? Make sure we have no sin in our lives. Make sure there's nothing there clouding us up. Right? Not only do we distract ourselves when we've got sin in our lives, but it frustrates the will of the Lord. It quenches the Spirit. It makes everything 100 times harder. I often sit there and lose my patience at the house. It seems like anytime I want to move something, there is a whole treasure trove of items all of a sudden on the stairs or at the base of the stairs. I go through a door, there's stuff behind it. I lose patience with that. Why? Because I like smooth access to things. I like to be able to go down the stairs. I like to be able to walk through a door. It's a very big pet peeve of mine. Well, sin is the thing that clutters. Sin is the things that sit on your stairs and try to make you fall down as you serve the Lord. We want to clear ourselves of those things. It is the dirt in our filters that makes breathing difficult, that makes function difficult. So what do we want to do? We want to clean those things out in our time of breaking. Make sure it's all done. If I'm going to come away for the Lord, I want to make sure, number one, those things are clear, because I can't do any of the other things I need to do with sin still in my heart. Number two, they said, air up your tires. Air up your tires. Hey, are you fully equipped to do the work that God has called you to do? Right? If you're sitting there and you're not read up and you're not prayed up and you haven't been coming to church, and when you do come to church, you're just daydreaming to get to the end of it. If you're not filled up with what you're supposed to be filled up with, you're going to struggle. You're going to have a hard time. Damage will come to you personally if you're trying to serve the Lord without being properly prepared. If your strength isn't full, your heart's not ready for the battle, the armor's not on, you're going to struggle at things. So that's one of the things we need to address as we come before the Lord. Air up your tires. Number three, fill up your tank in cold weather. Of course, my father-in-law would always used to talk about this when I was a teenager. Of course, he wasn't my father-in-law when I was a teenager, but he'd always tell us that you need to make sure you've got enough gas in your car so the condensation doesn't settle in there, right? And then you could get yourself into a real predicament. Hey, whose strength and what motivates you to do the work that God has called you to do? Be it your position in your family, your position in the church, whatever it is that God has put you into, what motivates you? Right? If it's to have other people see that you're a good person, if it's to stay within the good graces of family members and friends, if it's so that you don't hear a sermon preached about you, your motives are wrong. It's like having condensation in your gas tank. There's going to be issues there. You're going to stall out. Your engine's not going to run right for the Lord if you've got things in there to distract you. Bad motivators will ruin a Christian walk. We need to make sure what motivates us is, number one, the honor and glory of the Lord, and number two, that by serving Him, we're helping others. Everything else will run smoothly if we have the right motivation, the right thing to propel us. Next one we see there is tune up your car. Shell Oil tells us to tune up our car. Change out the things that wear out after a while. You know, some of us, we read through our Bibles and we've got our routines for our daily spiritual walk. And after a while, you may get bored with it. So you know what you got to do? You switch it up. I've got three or four different Bibles. As I'm reading one, if after a while I notice that things are getting stale, I'll switch programs or switch, not versions of the Bible, but I'll switch to another bound Bible that I've got. Why? Just to keep things fresh, keep things moving. If every now and then you find yourself getting bored with, maybe not bored, but you feel like you could take on more, well, come to me, let's do some more, right? Tune up, get yourself in order. Make sure that everything you're doing is still working and there's no misfiring there, right? When you wake up in the morning and you don't serve the Lord the way that you're supposed to, that's a misfire. When somebody comes by and you know you got the opportunity to give them the gospel and you don't, that's a misfire. When you're not reading your Bible, when you're not praying, misfiring all over the place. So what should we do? Make sure that we've got everything working smoothly. If there's some stuff I gotta fix, some stuff I gotta replace, some stuff I gotta change out, I do that so that I can stay effective in the ministry of the Lord. And the final one that they put on there is slow down. Slow down. I tell you what, I've often been guilty of this. My son Ike Haspin and I, we've got a saying. We like to do all of the things right now. Right? You'll often catch somebody in my house trying to eat while fixing this, while this is over here working. So we'll start one thing, and while that's going, we'll start another. Maybe we'll be eating some food, brushing our teeth at the same time. We just got way too much happening. Why? Because all of the things right now. In ministry, we can kind of do that to ourselves. Well, I want all of the things. Right? I want to be able to do all the things I'm supposed to do. I also want to be very effective in my job, very effective in my family life. We want all of the things. Well, know when to slow down. Know when it's not just time to take a break, but when it's time to kind of drop the tempo of our run a little bit. Not that we give up on the things of the Lord. We still maintain the daily. We still serve Him the way that we're supposed to. But maybe we don't take on as much as we want to. We don't take on as much as we think that we should. We sit there and we set an appropriate pace so we're not burned out. Jesus Himself knew the value of slowing down. He didn't get up early and wake the boys up and say, "All right, men, here we're going to head right on over to the next city." No, He took a step back. Why? Because you gotta have a good store of energy. You've gotta have that time spent with the Lord if you're gonna be able to move forward. So don't overtax yourself, but don't give yourself a break from the things God commands you to do every day. Right? I can kind of seem, okay, where do I cut the line on that? We'll know. right? Reading and praying and all the stuff I'm always preaching on every day without fail, right? But do you necessarily need to bring 15 to 20 cakes to a Bible conference? Maybe not. Do you need to be the one who's always doing that one thing? No, we can parse that out, give you a bit of a break. That's important, that's valuable, that you set a pace that you can keep with, right? And then as you build up at that pace, you can go faster, you can do more, but every now and then we got to drop the pace a bit so that we don't fail on the most important things. The daily function of our spirit and this daily service that we must do to Him, we've got to keep those. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gives us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What we need to do is we need to take some time to stop and sharpen the axe. Right? We've all heard that adage. I'm pretty sure I've used that before. I can't remember who said it, that if he was given 2 hours or 4 hours to chop the tree, if it was 4 hours, he would need at least the first 3 hours just to sharpen the axe. Why? Because it would work it out. Folks, we need to stop. Be able to knock off some of the rough edges that being around this world's given us. Right? Lay aside some of the effect, some of the open doors, some of the entertainments that we're doing, some of the things that we're using to entertain ourselves, the music and those kinds of things. We take a minute to knock off the effect that those have had on us. It's valuable. One of the things that I believe why we did camp, why camp is so important to someone like me, is it is a whole week where your phone ain't working. I mean, I lost my phone, and I'll tell you what, for that couple days where I didn't have it, it was beautiful. Even during that time during the week when I had no signal, beautiful. Why? Because there's a lot that happens there. There's even a lot of science that talks about being on the internet or being in front of a screen too much raises your anxiety levels. Shut it all down. Get into the Word of God. Get around some good Bible preaching. Get around some people that will encourage you in the Lord. Friday we had our morning coffee thing, and it was beautiful. We had a great conversation based around the Word of God. It charged me up. It sharpened me up. And I tell you what, knocked off a lot of any kind of discouragement, woke me up better than the coffee did. It was nice. We need to take that time to come away from the world, come away from them, and be with God so we can lose some of this conformity. And again, be a more useful Christian instead of a more dull one. We need focus. Oh boy, do we need focus. What is it right now that you're working on for the Lord? If you don't have something that you're working on personally, I encourage you, you're going to need that, because what are you focused on? What are we working on if the answer is nothing? If I can't sit there and tell you right now what I'm working on, then nothing's going to get done. What we must do is have something we're focused on. I'm working on understanding this doctrine better. I'm working on being this kind of a soul winner. I'm working on being this kind of a church member, this kind of a father, grandfather, mother, sister, brother, whatever. I'm focused on growing in this area, and we need to be focused on it in a God-honoring way. What would best please the Lord if I did it? Right? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. Have a focus. We see that by renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I tell you what, Jesus Christ did what he did and could do what he did because he was 100% God. But we ourselves can achieve great things if we are good stewards. We work when we're supposed to work. We break when we're supposed to break. And that break is spiritually productive. We can be a good example. We can be that Christian that runs well if we know what to do and how to do it. If we're not taking that time to rest in the Lord, if we're not taking that time to grow in those rest breaks, then we're going to struggle. We're not going to be a good example. If we want to be a good example, we need consistency. And good consistency comes from keeping yourself charged. Keeping yourself charged. All right, so anyway, we see the kind of breaks that the Lord took here. Right? In this particular time, he took a small break in the morning. Just kind of went off before everybody got up. took a break, talked to the Lord. Again, when I say break, this was not hanging out in a hammock somewhere. This was on his knees talking to God the Father, right? Just going over the plan, communicating to him, being the example that we need. That's what he was to take a small break. We need to start every day, finish every day apart with God. That time is valuable. That time should be productive. So we want to make sure that we take those small breaks every day. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, as much as you can say, as much time as you can take in participation with the Lord in this conversation. And I tell you what, the Lord's also proven to us the value of larger breaks. Going away for a day, not just to get your hair cut and colored, but to solely communicate with him, to pray, to talk, to rebuild yourself, to re-strengthen yourself, to refresh yourself. We need to take the longer breaks too. And we're talking about some serious time with the Lord. Time filled with praise. Maybe it's a whole day. You go out and you're walking through a nature park and you're just talking to the Lord. And no Walkman, nothing in your ears, just pure quiet with the Lord. Right? Take that time. Maybe it's a day. Maybe it's 2 days. Whatever it is that you need to recenter yourself with God and in the work of God. And of course, we also see time needed to organize a serious organization of your spiritual affairs, right? If you're not a strong Christian, these are the times that are valuable to you, where you are focused on him. And you can come to him and say, Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, I'm trying to grow there. And we're able to talk that over with him. And not only is that asking him for help, and not only is he faithful to answer our prayers and faithful to give us strength and forgiveness and guidance, right? But that shows not just to him, but to us that we're serious about our Christian walk, right? If we're not serious enough to talk about the failings or talk about the weaknesses in our walk, we're never going to get any better. We have to be serious when it comes down to the work of the Lord. And part of that seriousness are these times of coming away and getting the plan together. Going back to our text, as he's there praying, verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee, right? Because the work's always going to be there. Right? The Mount Morris will always be filled with lost people. Clio will always be filled with lost people. Frankenmuth, Flint, everywhere around us will always be lousy with those that are serving self over God. The work will always be there. And therefore, we must learn to take the breaks so we can be sharper in our approach to people that need the Lord. Right? And that's the solution. People need the Lord. You see that joke of a primary that we just went through in Michigan. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in some politician or some guru or some drink that you can get offline to restore and give you vitamins. Our hope isn't in those things. Our hope is in the Lord, which means we need some time apart with him. We need to sit there and get the plan together with him. To sit there and get things organized, because the battles are coming. Right after we say amen, we must pick up our shields and get the armor on and go out and do the work. So if we know the work is coming, we must be quick and we must be consistent in our in going to the Lord and taking that time with him. He said this after they kind of broke him from his reverie here, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. A little bit of spiritual rest, a little bit of spiritual recharging will prepare you for the battles in your life, will prepare you for the battles out in this world. Right? Your grumpy neighbor who doesn't like you because of the church you go to, your family member who gets upset for your religious walk, the boss that's trying to put all these regulations on you to go against what God tells you to do, they're there. You need recharging. You need a kind of a productive break that gets you your energy back and restores your zeal to you. We need those things because God has plans and we need to take the break to be able to do the plans. Oh, but don't become too favorable in that lazy break. You know what I'm talking about? That break where it's just you staring at the television. That break where it's you staring at your phone or staring into the water hoping a fish comes and gets you, right? It needs to be productive. Productive and spiritual, all those other things. Those are, you know, I guess it's good to go out and enjoy nature. It's good to go out with your family and build memories. Those are good, but they're not spiritual breaks. You need spiritual breaks too, right? We need all of it. So let's make sure we put in that effort to get that break in, to get that spiritual recharging, or else we're going to struggle. Perhaps you find yourself here tonight and you are struggling. I tell you what, I've been in moments where it's hard for me to put two brain cells together. I kind of made the joke the other day to somebody, I've got two brain cells left and they're fighting for third place, and that's how I feel sometimes, right? Now, what is that a good sign of? You need to take a break with the Lord. You need to take some time and stop and pray, right? One of the biggest things that I'll talk about to one of my kids is you're going too fast. Stop and think. And I tell you what, if I'm going to stop, I need to stop with the Lord. If I'm going to think, I need to think on heavenly things so that I may be best prepared to serve the Lord in this wild and obnoxious world and do what God has called me to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, in this unorthodox kind of a way, I just pray that you bless us as we try to serve you. Bless us, Lord, as we try to honor you with the things that we do. Father, remove this COVID from us once again. Lord, be with those that are ill. Give them a speedy recovery. And Lord, just reveal your will to us and what plans and what work we must do so that, Father, we may take that time with you and we may be prepared for whatever it is you've got planned. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.